pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us. On this Friday, it's finally Friday morning, 251-343-0106. Text me. That's how you interact with the program. We'll get to your text throughout the morning, and just keep them coming our way. About an hour from now, April Murray Fogle from Alabama Today will be with us. And then at the bottom of that hour, my State Senator Chris Elliott, who I like to refer to as our returning champion, will be on the program. So stick around for that. But joining us now here in the Fairhope Bureau, always a pleasure, nothing more appropriate for the Jeff Poor Show than to have Bess Rich on the counter. That poor. Councilwoman, good morning. How are you?
Thank you for inviting me. I'm doing great and hope the same for everyone who's listening, yourself included.
Thanks for making time for us. Well, I'll just throw you a softball. I watch it from afar and kind of have like some historical perspective, but not really knowing a lot of inside baseball about the city of Mobile, what goes on at City Hall. What do you make of this dust up between the probably soon to be former police chief and the mayor?
It's huge because it involves public safety, which interacts with everybody. And when you read how you form a municipality, you're required to provide public safety. And so it's the number one arm of city government. And when you're talking about who was the leader of that and then the removal, it becomes a very public dust up, as you said.
So you think, I mean, your assessment of Paul Prine, his job, what I can tell, everybody seems to be pretty satisfied, happy with the directions he's taking things. I mean, does that seem like a fair assessment of public opinion?
I think that's very fair in the sense, and especially for me personally, it was one of the last acts that I did as a city council member back in October before I left in 21, was to approve his appointment recommended by the mayor at the time. And I did some research because I didn't know Paul Prine. I hadn't interacted, my office had never interacted because he didn't come into the district as far as where he was involved, and I just never had access. So I asked people that I trusted in law enforcement, and he got like an A+ rating, and I was very, you know, felt good about that because, you know, that was all the research I could possibly do, you know, not being an administrator and knowing what he's done or even been able to say how he had interacted with residents that I represented. So that's probably why I'm sitting across from you today, because I was there when he was appointed, and everyone sang his praises. And for a little background, in 2013, when the mayor first ran, I was very, very supportive of Mayor Stimson. And I see many of his fine points. But at the same time, over the years that I served with him, as our mayor, there was a fracture in that relationship. And so I understand exactly how that administration works, having been at the end of the line there to see that for different aspects, and the control and the power that is asserted, which is not positive in my, you know, for running a city government. It's almost dangerous.
I'll say this, and then this is, it does seem like, I don't know if they're souring is the right word, but there seems to be Sandy Stimson fatigue, at least. I mean, he's been mayor a long time, and but I keep telling the listeners this. My historical perspective goes back, not, you know, even beyond Sam Jones, but Dal, I mean, you know, and then there's people who
I served with Mayor Dal.
There are people on this planet right now who have only known three mayors of Mobile, you
right.
know?
Like, right.
That's just hard to imagine to me. But it hasn't been, just historically, it hasn't been sort of like governors.
Well, you have a council form of government, which came in 1985, and you one council person can do absolutely nothing, which is why it requires five. And I've always been a fan of supermajority because that means more people are at the table. So it's a positive thing for Mobile. You're involving more of the public in the capacity of whatever the legislation or the resolution or ordinance you're coming up with. But I want to back up because when you say, oh, it could be so much worse, the thing is there has been no real media outlets to review the number of positions that have come and gone from the same individual who's at the top of the chain for running the operations of city government. And I think that that's something that should be looked into. I know that Paul has presented what was supposed to be his walking papers, and seeing that he was given two choices, one to go quietly and you would get all kinds of good retirement. You would get a severance pay. You would
health
be a consultant.
Yeah.
You would be a consultant, and yet you wouldn't have the stress of being the chief. Or if you make any noise, we're going to blast you and make sure that your reputation is ruined.
It seems unnecessary. Like, why are you? Why are you going to? Why is this the approach you're taking?
Exactly. And how many other people perhaps that left under those same conditions that you don't know about because it wasn't public safety? Plus, you didn't have any individual that said, I'm not going to tolerate that on behalf of my profession, behalf of my faith, and how I viewed what my job was. And everything so far that Paul has pointed out, has had the opportunity to point out, has been backed up with paperwork and indeed seen as being true.
I'm gonna say this: the effort to smear him with the random F bomb, very weak. I just seems like a stretch. Like you know, like
everybody has a bad day and says something they regret.
I drop that bomb with my employees all the time.
Exactly,
and I shouldn't, but I do.
Yeah,
and but it's not necessarily malicious, or you know, it's maybe sometimes it's out of context.
Right, but
this is the best they got.
Well, not only that, it's that. If you're going to have an opportunity to say all this cannot be the leadership, yet you're outlining something legally that gives him permission to stay put. I mean, it does not compute or add up or make any sense whatsoever. And to me, that's the council's job at this point. And I will tell you that on this week's coming agenda are two things. First, there is, sponsored by William Carroll and C.J. Small, a resolution to investigate the claims. That will require five. They can hire an outside legal counsel that doesn't do business with the city of Mobile, which would have to be an independent counsel, so that they knew it was somebody who didn't care if they got one side of the argument wrong. They weren't going to do business with it. They've never done business and have no intention. So they have that authority. They have that authority. They do not operate the city of Mobile. That's the balance of power. But they can investigate and get every piece of information that they request.
Is it odd? Here's what's
Well, can I just finish the other aspect that's on the agenda is right after that is the mayor making the resolution that requires five council members to dismiss the current chief of police. Okay, which is also required by law. So you have two separate things going on the same agenda. And to be quite honest, I don't believe that the mayor, the way I see how he operates and what his communications and how he just moves the message, I believe he has the five or he wouldn't put that on the agenda. So the other, what is that other resolution to look into these claims?
What's the point?
Right. But I'm hoping that there might be five. And what I'd like to say is at 3:00, because the council's not meeting at the regular time on this coming Tuesday, they are going to meet at 3:00. You do not have to sign in ahead of time because these are two agenda items. People can have 3 minutes to bring up both of those items or one at a time, whatever they want to do, and see if they can rally the forces to get the council to do the right thing, which is at this point, knowing what we know, what has been released, can be discussed in public.
Tell me this, the Kenya Brown report.
Yes.
That it's not released to the public yet because they're saying it's not ready. Is it weird that they're already taking action on a document
Yes.
that isn't ready yet?
Yes.
Why not wait till it's public and then make your move on Prine? Like, this doesn't add up to me.
Well, that's why it should be investigated. The council let go, I imagine it was a resolution to contract with, Kenyon Brown, who has the box stops and the skill sets. So they were looking at incidences on the behavior of the force, because they had some concerns about some incidences that took place that were not pretty pictures at all. But they didn't send it off to make sure that it came back to say very bad things about the chief of police. That wasn't what their intentions were. And when you look at a document that went between the law firm where Kenyon Brown works for and what the city completely said was his charge, it was give us an opportunity to, look at those incidences, but give us the opportunity, meaning the administration, to review it, make recommendations, and then it will come back from you, but you'll send it back. And how is that an independent look at the system? Because you have individuals at all levels of the chain operational that might have had fingers pointed at them, and they might not like what they thought could come back. Why would they want to have that document in their presence and in their to use?
It seems tainted, right?
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I guess. Right down at the heart of it.
It's just like,
but they're hanging their hats. The council's hanging their hats on, we're just going to let this document speak for itself. It can't speak for itself because there's already proof that the administration reviewed it.
Right. So it does,
and made recommendations to it.
It loses a little credibility in the process.
Big, it's not little. It's huge.
But that's this is the star witness in all of this, is this report.
Right. But then at the same time, when you look at the separation agreement, it says we will calm down the report about you, or if you make noise, it's going to get loud.
Yeah, it's being it's being weaponized.
It's a threat. Yes. And so the council went off in one direction to try to get knowledge for themselves and their constituents, and then this is the way it's wrapped up administratively. But they have an opportunity. They have a complete opportunity. It's 3 pages worth of a resolution, which I've never seen a resolution carry on that long, because it's a serious thing what they need to do. And I feel they need to step up to the plate on behalf of citizens on this to get the truth and to get to the bottom of what has happened, because you're talking public safety. You're talking the trust of the citizens for public safety. It doesn't help it to go and just say, let's just remove this person, be done with it, and he's out of a job, and we don't care in what conditions he's, thrown out at this point. And it's because it's over now for us. And with threats maybe that the administration might make to them, the longer you do this, the more you're putting the city at risk. Well, at the end of the day, they're putting citizens at risk, because the lack of trust in policing will make a safer, better city.
Well, what about the other end of this and morale inside the Mobile Police Department? Seeing this go on,
yes.
and I that's what I'm, because I'm thinking, well, they're just going to throw this guy under the bus. Well, what's the point?
Right.
Why would I put my life on the line when this is how we're going to treat somebody?
Yeah, they're treating someone with 27 years experience,
right,
that a little over 2 years ago was the gem of the team. And plus, he took a bullet for the citizens of Mobile. You have a gentleman who absolutely lived and breathed policing and understood his main job. When I went to his rally and his main speech, he has a lot of faith, and so he's putting it in God's hands, and that's a very comforting thing. But at the same time, he also said he doesn't want to risk the running of the department, that people have to still do their jobs. He's not seeing himself as a victim, But, you know, he has scruples, morals, and objectives of how he thinks it should be set back to the public, policing. And it's being undermined and chiseled away at, because you can't get rid of a police chief with the support that he has and 2 years say one thing and
turn around.
And then he's absolutely said things like they threaten me, and he's showing proof.
He's got the receipts. Let's get a break in here. We got a former Mobile City Councilwoman Bess Rich here, weighing in on some Mobile municipal, controversy, if you will. But we'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday afternoon, or Friday morning. What am I talking about? 251-343-0106. You'll be in touch with the program. Still to come, April Marie Fogel, a little more than half an hour from now, and State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion. Real quick, let's get through some text here. Sam, Mr. Poore and the Honorable Mrs. Rich, the handling of the Chief Paul Pryon and his dismissal makes me wonder if the former fire chief was ousted as well. I guess we can speculate on that. Josh, supermajority law in the city council is racist, so I'm not a fan. Hope Miss Rich meant another type of supermajority she's a fan of. It's just the kind of government we have. You can have whatever opinion you want, Josh. Dink, ask her about her thoughts on Barber. You have any thoughts on Barber, Councilwoman?
He started out as a police chief, got up to the top of the chain there, and I was in council when he was the chief, and then he moved over to public safety, which is also a very important job, knowing that he already had the policing down. I was a little concerned that he didn't really have an affection for the fire department, and he assured me he would get to know them and work very closely with them to make them the best they could be. And I think there's a lot of problems there because there's a lawsuit on parity, which he is pretty much hands-on with that. And that's a whole nother guess. I think I was here, as a matter of fact, the last time I was visiting with you was to talk about that parody lawsuit that's still going on. And anyway, long story short with that, and now he is your chief of staff. And so that's not an appointment that comes through council. The mayor is allowed to pick whomever, but his bent is law enforcement, and he's knowing what Chief Pryon has said what concerns that he had about getting into intelligence in the city of Mobile and getting into that department and having complete access in order for him to be a good operator of policing. He had to go through individuals that at the end of the day, he's, you know, basically claiming were out to see him gone because he questioned his lack of ability to really do the best he could as police by having intelligence at his fingertips. And cyber intelligence is part of it. And he even complained to the mayor about how that was hand-stringing him, and he thought it would be solved, and it never got solved. He made some complaints about Barber, and then Barber was the one who came in and settled those complaints. He wasn't given the opportunity to really get those investigated.
It just sounds like a turf war.
It could possibly be, and, you know, things happen like that. Right. But I think that anybody who is a citizen of Mobile, which I've moved away, but my daughter works in the city of Mobile. My husband, you know, goes there all the time and has offices in the city of Mobile. And I have a lot of friends. As a matter of fact, they called me nonstop on this because they know that I know how things work. But the bottom line is that you have a police chief that made complaints about not getting access, direct access into intelligence. And I don't know how you can operate policing without having that arm of the division completely under your auspices, knowing what we know now about Spot Shooter and the concerns that he had and the claims that there's a grant out there.
We'll get into the Spot Shooter next time. We're going to get Well,
you asked me about Barbara, and see, Barbara's very involved in those aspects, from what we can tell.
Well, we got a few texts to get to here. We'll get to your queries on the other side. Still with us, former Mobile City Councilwoman Bess Rich. Just kind of talk about what's going on in Mobile right now. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Ford Show on FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. 34 minutes after the hour on this Friday morning, 251-343-0106. Text me. That's how you interact. Let's get some text out of the way here. John says, Mrs. Rich should get a job at one of the TV stations doing editorials about city and county issues. She is very well informed. Consider all of this a compliment. Well, thank you.
That's very sweet.
You don't want to comment on Sam Jones's bunny rabbit PJs, do you?
You know, it's funny. I remember that so well, and Lanyap did a great piece of that. They had the cartoons. It was great. And when I got back on council in 2010, I was horrified with the budget. They used $21 million of attrition to float the budget. You realize how what false foundation that was. They taxing everybody through the wazoo in order to make things meet. They didn't know how many people they had in city government. And there were a lot of complaints that people were registering with me, both inside the system and, of course, citizens. And that was one of the reasons when Stimson came forward to run, I was all in from a business standpoint of somebody who could just sit down and just literally look at why we were bleeding. We had no reason to be bleeding. The money was there. It was just so unorganized. And I was very pleased to see him win that election. I was very excited. I thought it would be a great change, a very positive change.
I still think it's an upgrade,
financially, it is a positive change. But they are still dealing with 10% sales tax, so that's still coming in handily. So a lot of things are being done with it. But the bottom line is that over time, I didn't always agree with everything politically that Mr. Stimson was bringing to the table, and I was basically put out to pasture over, you know, without saying that I had some validity and some way to get a message in, and I was absolutely just trying to represent the people, you know, that put me in office. So if it didn't fit the goal, it was gone. You were just gone. I don't think he ever stepped in my office after we had a falling out about that. About me not backing him at 110%. There's no such thing in politics. It should never be like that.
It's like a loyalty oath or something, right?
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Jason asked, he says, Mrs. Rich is a terrific guest. Does she plan to run again?
Well, I've moved away from the city of Mobile. I'm a voter over here in Fairhope in Baldwin County. And I'm here because my kids are here and my grandkids are here. And I'm loving every minute of it, and I miss a lot of people in the city of Mobile, my friends and people that I met in city government. There are lots of good people, but I don't miss that stress.
Oh, you can heap praise of the Eastern Shore all you want. this is a long one. I don't know if I'll read all of it, but I'll see. Listening to Bess, I totally understand reservations about the validity of the city's accusations. Having volunteered on the LAD board for over 12 years, I have firsthand knowledge of the way mayor and chief of staff operate. When a few of us took information of a proprietor, Chief Barber, it was swept under the rug. And 2 weeks later, LAD board was absolved. I have known the mayor since I grew up in Spring Hill, and worked hard to get him elected. The fact that I never talked to him because he was always against LAD was very sad. I was also made to look like a troublemaker when I just felt a place for LAD. Granted, LAD was ignored and needed much, which I thought the mayor would help with. It was discarded as the board and was a municipality, but no one cared, no support from the media. But to ruin Chief Bryan's reputation is horrible. This has to be investigated for the good of Mobile. I pray some council members will listen.
Well, absolutely. I think that is a very good summary of what's on the table right now. The opportunity for the council to step up and look at all aspects of what it is they've learned, what has been publicly exposed, and get to the bottom of it. They shouldn't worry about what the end result is, other than it would help to bring trust back, which is sorely missing when you go after a chief of police in the manner that's happening, with threats that have all proved to be true. And it's, the bottom line is, again, you had a chief that complained that he couldn't get into the intelligence, that the way it was set up was not making him the best chief he could be for the job he needed to do. And when he made those complaints to the one person, meaning the mayor, it was not looked into. Just like this comment that you're getting about Ladd, that they made complaints or they made some accusation and nothing got done. The only thing that happened is Ladd is no longer under the city's auspices. It's gone. Well, they're doing the same thing, but it's 10 times worse when it's the chief of police because of the citizens they represent and the trust that means to the citizens.
Well, tell me something, and this is just an observation of mine, but, you know, the mayor, his office, when they feel like they need to, they play hardball politics. I don't know that any of these circumstances really warrant that.
Well, can you, I'm not sure I follow your train of thought.
Just like with the Prine situation and the threat saying, hey, you need to step out gracefully or this is going to happen to you.
Right.
She's like that's just hardball, like, you're going to do this this way, it'll be a lot easier for you.
Well,
this Ladd situation, it's, you know.
Well, what kind of nerve did the chief of police hit that it was, get quiet, and we'll do all this for you, yet you're so bad, you know, what we're going to tell everybody else how bad you are and what an ineffective.
Why would you put that in writing?
Well, that's another thing, because, you know,
that
what?
That seems like the dumbest thing to do is putting that in writing.
Especially an attorney usually is very calculating not to do that. But the point is that it was done in writing. It was handed directly. And the bottom line becomes, how many times has this been done? Because there's been like a rotation of handpicked people that have all of a sudden resigned, gone away, or been removed. You know, it's a pattern. It is a pattern that is not positive for the city of Mobile. And how many people actually work for the mayor under signature? I went to court on behalf of the citizens I represented when the council tried to get a resolution passed that would give a pathway to the mayor so that we could still be informed. How many people are there here? You know, the Zogby bill says you can have these people that are outside the personnel board. And then it says you can have about 100,000, but that's misinterpreted. And the bottom line became there were like $4 million of salaries that were not public servants. They were hand-picked and either came and gone at the administration's request or, you know, to do their bidding. What is their bidding when they carry on like this and don't want civil servants in place? And have gone into every department to handpick people now. It's not just in policing. It's in every department. And that's really not a way to run a city, because what happens when that mayor goes? Do all those people, you realize the institutional knowledge that's sitting with all these people, they wouldn't have a job because they're right now just working for the mayor of Mobile? That isn't a permanent position, no matter how good or bad they are. Okay? I mean, that's not how America functions.
I have a text here. The mayor and Jimmy Barber have been fighting for 2 or 3 years to get rid of the personnel board to make it easier to fire their employees.
Well, there is legislation that has come forward, and, you know, some people see the personnel board as a dinosaur, but it is a path and a protection for people against people who get in leadership roles, especially the mayor. It's a very powerful position, but they have no legislative ability, you see. That's the separation of the power. But the separation of power is completely maligned and washed away right now because of how they sued the council. Who heard of a mayor suing the council? This is the same money for attorneys.
Well, yeah.
And it was, we were questioning the authority based on the legislative act of the city. And yet we were, what we initially wanted was, okay, you can have your people, but could you tell us where in the budget you get this, how much they're being paid, what is their job? And it was like a shutdown. and go to court. You're overreaching. You're telling us how to operate, and you're trying to operate. No, we wanted a path. We wanted a legislative path to understand what was going on. And I think when that suit got dropped and was settled, so to speak, which I was told that if there was any council person that still wanted to see it go through the chain, that five people, just because it was five, which is a legislative act, the judge said five people want it. I'm done with this case. It's over. Put the gavel down. And that was a bunch of BS, because if it had been a private sector and one person said, I'm not buying that settlement, they'd still be in court. And yes, it's costly, and I felt terrible, but I also felt like what created the city council was being eroded, and I think it's to the point of almost being impossible to rein in. And unfortunately, public safety got noisy about what's going on.
Getting a few texts about this, this investigation by Kenyon Brown.
Yes.
Does it matter that he was a former U.S. attorney for Obama? Does that?
No, I think
in the public's perception, and this is, you know, into a political talk show, so everything's viewed through political lens.
Of course,
they look at it, there's like, hey, you know, I don't know, we don't really trust this guy. He played for the other team.
Right.
He's going to come at this from a slanted
perspective. Well, but he was hired by the Mobile City Council to do an outside independent review of incidences that they heard from their constituents that were extremely troubling for policing. And they wanted that exposure and a review of the procedures and tactics of the Mobile Police Department. However, it became the vehicle that was going to now make Paul Prine either shut up and get out, or if he got loud, they were going to use it against him. So how is that report even worth its salt anymore? Okay, I mean, independent review that they probably need it, no doubt.
I'm an editor of a website, 1819 News, and
that's great. That's excellent. You need to promote that.
And if I'm writing a story about a politician, and I write it and I send it to the said politician, hey, what do you know?
Right.
And then he sends it back. I mean, it interferes with the credibility. You don't do that typically. You'll reach out and ask for feedback or comment or whatever, but that's what that sounds like to me going on with this report.
Right. And the thing is, doesn't that take away the council's authority of what they thought on behalf of the community this $1,000 an hour job was going to bring back to them? And you can have an administration that talk about overreaching their authority of taking a council action to get information on behalf of the public and then using it for an end result of who they want to remove from office. When the person made some complaints that were seen as frivolous, not to be reviewed, and the one person who got the complaint was the person who the complaint was about.
Yeah, so I just, that whole aspect of this, because it's the foundation of everything.
Yes.
It's got serious problems in my mind with its credibility, because why would you do it? It seems like you're putting the cart before the horse to take action on something that's not, quote unquote, ready for public consumption.
Well, why do you have a police chief that in time realized that unless he could have direct access into the intelligence unit, okay, and that division, even though it came out of his budget, and yet he had no say, and couldn't even get the information that he, you know, wanted unless he went through a chain of command.
Right.
It makes no simple sense. It doesn't compute right for good governance.
Well, do you have a theory as to why that was why it was laid out that way, or why it was handled that way?
I think when you look at Spot Shooter and going after another 3-year Justice Department grant of $5 million, and then the police chief saying, hey, we don't think this is doing quite, you know, maybe there's another grant out there or whatever, because you can only get so many grants. They kind of cap it off based on your population. And he was not in favor of seeing that go, but they didn't want to hear that. And that was a division that maybe he didn't have all the information about spot shooting. I don't know. But if you read about it, there's a lot of cities that said it was oversold, and it's not, the technology really hasn't reached the point of doing what it claims to do. However, it might have some good beneficial, you know, placement in a city. And You know, the city bought into it, and they weren't going to stop it. Yet the chief of police, who I think that's why he's there, to tell you how to spend Justice Department money. That should be his job. He's in the hench. I mean, he's right there. He's in the trench.
Yeah, it's just they want to establish a policy, and this is just one example of it. It sounds like, for the most part, you just had a lot of disagreement. You didn't give the police chief enough buy-in into kind of the system they wanted to run.
Right. Yeah. Or did he have his profession squarely behind him and his heart in the right place to protect citizens of Mobile, and he was not able to do that under the way they set up the system? And that needs to worry Mobileans. But this council has a great opportunity to get to the bottom of all of this. And at the end of the day, like I've been saying, it's all about trust. It's all about honesty. And there shouldn't be anything behind the scenes going on and scare of lawsuits if you continue and Justice Department be coming down on the city, whatever the heck they're saying. And I'm not saying those aren't legitimate concerns that a city would have. But you cannot take someone's profession, and for the first time, it's policing that's willing to speak out that things are not going right on how they viewed their job. Yet it's not the first time, like the person that wrote you about the Ladd issue. Yeah. I mean, give or take on Ladd.
Well, it, there's such high turnover within this.
Well, hello. Yeah.
So this is one that's very public and very nasty, and we kind of have an idea about some others, but there is a pattern here.
Yes.
Now, I heard the mayor talk about this with Sean, and he said, look, some guys just go on, take other jobs. Maybe it's higher paying or different stress levels. But, I mean, you could attribute maybe some of that to the turnover. But I do think that this is unusual for a city government.
Well, exactly. I've never witnessed that in the 19 years I was down there, you know, the revolving door there. And it's, again, what is the common denominator?
Yeah. Well, fair enough. Let's get one more break in here. We got a former Mobile City Councilwoman, Bess Rich, sitting in here at the Fairhope Bureau. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Just hear that whippoorwill. See the stars.
A couple guys in first class. Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. Again, text me, 251-343-0106. Still to come, we got April Murray Fogle coming up in the next segment, and our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott. So please stay tuned for that. Just a few more moments here with Bess Rich. You wanted to reiterate this pivotal city council meeting on Tuesday.
Yes, it's Tuesday. That would be the 23rd of April, and it's at 3 o'clock. It's not the regular 10:30, so get that word out. And there are two agenda items. You do not have to sign in ahead of time. Now, you only have the 3 minutes to address them. One is for the council to form a committee to investigate the charges that have been leveled about on either side of the argument, and to get to the bottom of it, which I believe is the only way to get the trust back into the department and to policing in Mobile in general. And it should be the council's job to do this. That is their job. They don't operate it, but they sure can get to the bottom of something. The other thing is to remove him by virtue of the Zogby bill, where 5 council people, when the mayor makes the recommendation, and that is also on the agenda. I am a little concerned because I don't believe that the current mayor would put something on the agenda that might fall short and embarrass
him. So you think he's got the votes?
I hope that's not the case, and especially if the public comes out and lets the council know that the better thing to do as a council initiative is to investigate what a lot of paperwork is proving to be true, And why would you have a police chief given threats and also using what was a report that the council had never intended? And they're the ones that let go of the contract. Yet the administration wound up using it and threatening the chief of police to get rid of him.
Yeah, well, they weaponized it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And you know what? That was a very expensive contract, and it was never meant. I don't believe the council had that as their initiative.
No, and we can remember, like, what inspired that.
Yes, this, serious things on police.
Not as a, not necessarily to be used as leverage over your police chief.
Right. It was never meant for that, but there were serious issues about operations, and when you have a chief, it, you know, something's going to be reported back. But the point is that to use that as the weapon, that we're either going quiet with it if you leave after you've made these, you know.
Well, the fact that they would, you know, even say that they would go quiet with it, you
yes.
know, like it should not be what it is.
It shouldn't have been touched.
What it is what it is, and it needs to be put out there anyway.
Exactly. And I believe that was the council. So this should tell them, if they don't investigate, and citizens have the opportunity 3 o'clock on Tuesday to sign in when they get there to ask the council to please investigate.
All right. Well, we gotta wrap it up there. But Councilwoman, thanks for making time.
Thank you for having me.
All right. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5.
She said that all the railroad men just drink up your blood like wine.